Good morning. The next case on the court's calendar this morning is Ruth Jamison Relator versus Uable Emotional Health and Department of Employment and Economic Development, case number, why do I not have a case number? 8240029. We're ready for arguments from counsel for appellant. Please be sure to introduce yourself for the record before proceeding with your argument.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Christopher DeSilva, and I'm the attorney on behalf of Relator Ruth Jamison. So essentially what this case comes down to is whether Ms. Jamison had a good reason to quit. Ms. Jamison is a 64-year-old mental health worker who has been diagnosed with clinical blindness. Her doctor stated that she needs a screen reader in order to perform her job duties. Ms. Jamison spoke with Uable, who's the employer, before hiring, and made it very clear that without the screen reader, she could not perform her job duties. So Uable was aware of this disability before hiring and agreed to providing a screen reader. So they essentially, just to sum up the facts really quickly, they did a 45-day trial with the screen reader JAWS, and both parties agreed that it worked for them. After that is where the problems started. So Uable purchased a 90-day extended trial, essentially, that resulted, unfortunately, in a 24 to 48-hour period where the program basically was inoperable in the sense that every 30 to 40 minutes, Ms. Jamison's screen reader would just not function. It would just turn, it would say, essentially, you need to restart the entire PC, not just the program. So when she had to do that, she would have to physically go under the desk and turn it off and on. And over an eight-hour day, it's equivalent to 16 times about restarting the computer just so that she can get through the day.
Although that, I don't remember seeing that testimony, how often she had to do it. I mean, part of her day was spent in meeting with students, right? So yeah. We don't actually know how often, I don't think, she had to restart.
Sorry, Judge. So, yeah, she took contemporaneous notes while meeting with students in the middle school, and then she would also follow up and do notes after the fact. So I'm not sure whether it was exactly 16 times a day, but it was a large amount of times, enough that it significantly disrupted her ability to do her job.
And did that happen on several days, every day, or just at the end of the subscription period?
So it was on the end of the subscription period, but the problem is that Ms. Jamison was under the belief that she had a one-year subscription from the start after that 45-day trial.
So how many days did this occur?
So after the 90 days, it occurred for about one to two days. It's unclear exactly the exact amount. But the problem is that those 1 to 2 days cascaded into some other externalities in terms of she fell behind work, she wasn't able to do work. And as a result, it wasn't simply just, she wasn't able to work for 1 or 2 days. And this is evidenced by after the 90 days and when they had that downtime period, Uable again went ahead and unilaterally purchased the 90-day subscription again, despite knowing that this is what happens in between subscriptions. And so Uable chalked it up to technical difficulties. And so the initial assignment was with the middle school, and then it was with a day treatment center. So Ms. Jamison had a lot of patients, and she decided, I'm going to stick with the company because I want to work. She's 64 years old, and she was recently blind, but she still wants to work. And so she went back. So before she started the new assignment at the day treatment center, she spoke with Uable, and they said that she basically made it known that when she returns, she hopes that this works, that she's able to come back and just do her job. And so when she returned from vacation, she had the exact same issues as when she went before her vacation. And so she met with a tech...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So she met with an IT person, and they said, you know, there's nothing we can really do about this. You just have to live with it. And that's in her testimony.
And the issue is that at the end of the subscription, service would be interrupted.
Correct.
So when you said when she came back from her vacation and went to the day treatment center, she was having the same issues, do you mean at the end of that 90-day period or right away when she came back?
Yeah, so I believe it's the... After the end of the 90-day period, it coincided because it was after the school year. And so the way they set it up is that when the school year ended, that's basically when the day treatment center position began. But she was under the belief that she had an annual subscription from the start, and obviously through time realized that she didn't.
So earlier you said that Uable bought another 90-day subscription despite knowing that there would be functionality problems because of the downtime. It wasn't 100% clear, and that's because, the CEO was testifying with a lack of direct information. Your client was perhaps misinformed, but certainly under the impression and believed that she had a 90-day subscription. I don't know that we know what the tech people. I am sure it was extraordinarily frustrating, and I am not sure that it's evident from the record or the findings. Who knew what at what time? Yeah. I'm not exactly sure that the ULJ didn't find that, despite knowing that the functionality problem was an inter-subscription problem. They went ahead and bothered. I'm not sure I see a finding or even record support. It seems like there was perhaps a lack of clarity among tech, among your client and super, what's the problem?
Yes.
Whereas now, in the retrospect, the problem was the program's not going to offer itself for free. They interrupt when you're off subscription to make you reboot and repurchase, and that's what happened twice, right? With some uncertain or perhaps lack of knowledge on various people's part, which was extremely frustrating to the employee.
Yes, and so the issue is that, as the judge, the ULJ mentioned, tech issues happen and whatnot. Sometimes they're unforeseeable. The issue is that when Ms. Jamison alerted Uable to these problems, they didn't directly engage with her into an interactive process that could perhaps minimize the downtime periods or perhaps even give her clarity as to what exactly she has in terms of a screen reader. Because she was under the impression upon hiring that she had a one-year screen reader. And based on her previous job at State Services for the Blind, she had a one-year screen reader subscription for that, and it worked perfectly. And so...
They did interact, though, when they got to the end of the second one. It's like, we're buying this package.
Yes.
It's resolved, right?
Yeah, so the issue is that it's a temporal issue in that it was 9 months since she started. And so she initially thought she had this one subscription, and then she realized, okay, there's something going wrong after this certain period of time where I don't know and I come into the office and it turns out I can't work without being disrupted and my job duties and essential functions are disrupted solely because she's blind. Compares basically the issues that general non-disabled workers face with Ms. Jamison's specific issues related to her blindness and not being sufficiently accommodated. And so that's where the problem is that, yes, they did offer to fix after 9 months, but it's interesting in that they offered to purchase a one-year subscription.
Not really quite 9 months, though, because the first 45 days was agreed to, and the next 2 weeks, your client has no complaints with. It just took a while. So now we're in 6 month territory, probably,
yes.
Or 5 to 6.
Yeah. The problem is that she had complained time and time again, and so this last thing, this last moment before she quit, and it also should be known that she went on vacation, telling them, please, help me and help me get this resolved so that I can work. Because it ultimately comes down to the dignity of her being able to work at a level that her sighted workers can work at.
Can I just ask for clarification?
Yes.
Because you're talking about something happening time and time again, making it sound like this was ongoing every day or very frequently. But as I understand it, it's something that occurred twice and over a couple of days each period at the end of the subscription. So it wasn't a situation where this was ongoing, daily, weekly problem. Your argument is, well, it happened the first time, now they were on notice it could happen again, and they allowed it to happen again.
Yes, and so, exactly.
And was there any consequence to your client in terms of she fell behind on work a couple of days because she couldn't work?
Yeah, so when she started the new position at the day treatment center, she still had old work from the middle school that she had to catch up on. And so she had to dictate her work to her supervisor when she returned. And the issue so much isn't, in our opinion, whether it was positive punishment, whether she reduced, had a reduction in pay or, performance improvement plan. The issue is that UofL had a duty to provide a sufficient reasonable accommodation that would allow her to work at the level of her non-disabled peers if there's not an undue burden on them. And if there is an undue burden, then they must re-engage in the interactive process and discuss, is there anything we can do in terms of alternative accommodations? They did not do that.
So you're saying it was unreasonable to not get a one-year subscription, knowing the problems that occurred at the end of the 90-day subscription?
At that point, yes, they should have, or at least the issue so much is the communication regarding it, because, of course, it's difficult for them to know or predict how technology will work or whatnot, but it's the fact that they did not tell her even the fundamental thing, like, you have a 90-day subscription, you know, you've noted that this was not working after 2 days after basically disabling you from doing your work, and now we need to see, okay, how can we prevent this in the future? Instead, they just renewed it unilaterally, did not discuss with her, you know, is there anything we can do to prevent this from happening? Is there any other combination, like open source screen reader, anything that would mitigate that future harm? They just let her basically suffer that. They found that tolerable. Okay, that Ms. Jamison, yeah, she only, you know, she misses 1 or 2 days of work. That's not a big deal. But it is for her because she is, like I said, a 64-year-old mental health worker who takes great pride in her work. And for her to have to be singled out solely because of her disability, that is not something that UofL should be allowed to do, and that is something that is sufficient enough to quit after that a period of time. And so, and even the quit was not instantaneous, okay, I'm not, you know, where's the screen reader, let me quit. You know, it's after a long period of time, and she even went home and thought about it, and then the next day quit. So there is even some level of thought after that. And so the ULJ's, in our opinion, legal error was not considering those essential disability factors in terms of how did this affect Ms. Jamison as a disabled individual. Not so much, you know, feelings of frustration. Everybody who quits is frustrated or they feel unappreciated. It's how did UofL's treatment of her reasonable accommodation request, how did that affect her?
Can you succeed on any argument if the accommodation, if we were to affirm the determination by the ULJ that the accommodation was reasonable?
Yeah, so we believe that we can, based on just, even if it was sufficient under the ADA and whatnot, it's the communication during that time period which ultimately dehumanized her and that she was singled out again because she was blind. If she was not blind, this would not be an issue. She would have been able to do her work just like everybody else.
So even if they reasonably accommodated it, it would be a good cause or good reason caused by the employer because it seems like if one were to agree that a reasonable accommodation was made, I'm having a hard time getting to if you're reasonably accommodated, albeit frustrated because there's things that happen, that somehow you're subject to a different standard under the average person quitting at that point.
Yeah. So even if they're found to, you know, they provided a reasonable accommodation, it's one thing to provide the accommodation and it works. And they're trying their best. They're engaging in the interactive process. They're discussing alternatives with her. They're discussing how do we best meet the needs for you to succeed at work. But it's another thing to not only give her a lack of information, but misinformation. And I know the CEO mentions that she may have been told these things by other employees, but that you cannot simply put the onus of accommodating her disability on other employees.
What was the misinformation that she was given?
She was initially was made to believe that she had a one-year subscription and that the problems that she was facing were inherently tech problems rather than something that UofL can inherently control, which they could if they purchased an extended subscription after they knew after the first 90 days.
So she understood that the first 90 days, that was a 90-day subscription.
She did not.
She did not?
No. She was not told what it was. They agreed to the 45-day trial, okay. And then after 2 weeks after that ended.
So the 45-day trial, she knew that was a trial?
Correct.
And then after that, they purchased a 90-day subscription?
Yes.
And that's where all of the issues kind of, again, came up. And then at that point, it's my understanding, they then had another discussion in which they were going to purchase the one-year subscription, but she then quit.
So, yeah, so it was the 45 days, then it was the 90 days, which she didn't know about. Then it was the 1 to 2 day period, which resulted in other effects.
And that 90-day period is where you're saying that Uable did not engage in the interactive process to figure out a alternative means or at least discuss some way to reasonably accommodate her disability.
Yes. So it was after they had knowledge that, okay, this is what happens if we provide this form of accommodation. You know, Ms. Jamieson is in the best position to determine what works for her as she's the disabled party. And so it's, once Uable knew about that, they should not have unilaterally renewed the 90-day subscription and then just hope things worked out. They should have discussed it with her. They had a responsibility to make sure I met the needs of Ms. Jamieson.
When it was working, did it meet her needs?
Yes, it did. Yeah.
So the argument is really that it was an unreasonable accommodation because they knew that there could be 2 days of downtime in between subscriptions, so they should have resubscribed for 1 year, not another 90-day period.
Yes, and they should also have engaged in the interactive process and not unilaterally just make decisions about the version of the software that they're purchasing without her input, and then chalk it up to tech issues that, you know, there's nothing we can do about, or like prolong what is in fact preventable, or at least
understood.
Mitigated.
Don't see any other questions. You'll have 5 minutes on rebuttal to
right,
address
thank you,
them
Alex.
And make any other points you'd like to.
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Counsel for the department, could you introduce yourself for the record before proceeding?
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Carrie Phillips, and I represent Respondent Department of Employment and Economic Development, or DEED for short. So the ULJ's determination that Relator did not quit because of a good reason caused by the employer is supported by the record and legally correct. At the time Relator quit, Uable was offering to purchase a permanent subscription to the screen reader, and this would have completely resolved the issue of the interruptions between the subscriptions, and Relator decided to quit anyway. And while it is understandable that Relator was frustrated by these two previous unexpected interruptions, an average reasonable worker would not quit and become unemployed when the employer was offering to fix that problem permanently. Like the ULJ reasoned, two unexpected interruptions over the course of 6 months is not so adverse that it would compel an average reasonable person to quit. And importantly, the evidence shows that Uable did make efforts to accommodate Relator throughout her employment. When there were interruptions, Uable assured Relator that it would renew the subscription. Relator testified that Uable constantly said that we're going to get it for you. Relator's supervisor assisted her with documentation when the screen reader wasn't working. You know, Relator testified that the whole system was new to everybody. She admitted that it was new to Uable, and she testified that everyone was working with me. And also, Relator did not suffer any kind of loss of pay or hours, and she wasn't disciplined for not getting work done. And the evidence here just doesn't show that Uable misled the Relator or acted in bad faith. Again, you know, Mr. Dale testified that when he learned the subscription had lapsed, he renewed it. The ULJ made the finding of fact that Relator's belief that Uable had purchased a one-year subscription was due to a miscommunication. And Mr. Dale's testimony on page 23 of the transcript supports that finding, that he kind of admits that, you know, what I was telling her supervisors, it sounds like that's not what they were telling her. So there was a miscommunication. The ULJ acknowledges that, and that it must have been frustrating.
Is an accommodation reasonable when she tells you at the beginning, I had the one-year subscription, it works perfectly, and Uable merely purchases a trial period subscription that's having problems without any discussion with Ms. Jamieson?
So Relator testified there was a discussion initially about the 45-day trial. She said, we decided that we were going to purchase the 45-day trial and test it out to see if it worked for me. And she testified it did work for her. They ordered a subscription. She believed it was 1 year. It was actually 90 days. Took a couple weeks to get there, and she doesn't blame Uable for that. There was kind of a two-week delay in receiving the download. At that point, she goes through the 90 days, the first 90-day package. It expires. At that point, when Mr. Dale testifies that he renewed it, the finding is that it took 24 to 48 hours.
In that renewal, did he have a discussion with Ms. Jamison about any issues, whether or not it should be a one-year subscription or any type of interactive process with Ms. Jamison?
There's no evidence that there was a discussion after that first 90-day package. Mr. Dale testifies, I purchased another 90-day package to line up with the end of the school year because the relator was scheduled to work for the school year. And when the school year ended, it was kind of, I think, up in the air at that point. So his testimony was, we did that for a business reason. Her employment at the school was going to end. He testified then that when we learned that she was...
Placement at a school or an employment at a school? They employ her, but place her places, right?
That's right. They were the employer. I might be using the term placement kind of loosely. Her first employment was at the school, but Uable was the employer.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. And then Mr. Dale testified that when he learned that she was taking the new assignment or the new job at the day treatment center, they agreed to then purchase the permanent subscription at that time. So for that second interruption, it happened at the end of the year. She went on a week's vacation. She came back. There was about a week of transition when she was transitioning from the school to the day treatment center. And during that time, she testified that she was working with her supervisor and dictating to her supervisor. Mr. Dale testifies that he found out the screen reader wasn't working. He said he didn't know about it before then. So to Judge Smith's point earlier, the communications about what exactly was happening that week of transition isn't totally clear. Mr. Dale testifies that when I found out that morning, we offered to purchase the permanent subscription that day, and she then decided to quit after that. So there were interruptions in service, but the evidence shows that Uable was making efforts to engage with her, though there were some miscommunications. Again, it was a new program. It was a new system for Uable as well. And so I think they were kind of ironing out how that was to work. It was only after the second interruption, though, that they offered to purchase the permanent subscription. So it had only been two unexpected interruptions and then the offer. So under those facts, the ULJ correctly concluded that this just doesn't rise to the level of a good reason caused by the employer for quitting. And I believe those were the points that I wanted to make to the court. If there are any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, I'll...
Do you want to speak to the, if you wouldn't mind, how one applies the average worker, and what does that mean relative to a worker's own circumstances, and specifically about a disability?
Yeah, so I believe the ULJ here applied the analysis correctly, which is the average reasonable worker who is blind. I think the analysis, the ULJ acknowledges that the relator can't do computer work without a screen reader, that's necessary for her to do her job. So the correct analysis is the average reasonable worker who has a disability and who needs a accommodation for the disability. So I believe the ULJ correctly analyzed that. So it's an objective standard, but it does take into account the fact that that the relator was clinically blind and needed that accommodation to do her job. So in conclusion, the ULJ's decision is supported by substantial evidence and it's legally correct. Deed respectfully requests that the court affirm the ULJ's decision on reconsideration. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. Rebuttal argument?
Thanks.
So 268.095 subdivision 3C requires that if the applicant was subjected to adverse working conditions, the applicant must complain to the employer and give the employer a reasonable opportunity to correct the adverse working conditions before that may be a good reason caused by the employer for quitting. Ms. Jamieson gave them a reasonable opportunity to fix the conditions multiple times, and they failed to do so. Deed argues that the CEO didn't know about it, but as soon as he did, they then offered it. It should not be Ms. Jamieson's burden to wait until the CEO takes notice in order for accommodation to be provided. It cannot be on the company's time. This is supposed to be an interactive process between both parties. And in reference to sort of business reasons or balancing costs, as the CEO mentions in his testimony, that's all well and good, but it cannot be, we have business reasons, therefore we did not alert you at all to what we're getting you or what we're informing you, like in terms of the package we're providing.
Counsel, I guess for me, the elephant in the room is that your client indicated that the one-year reader was sufficient.
Yes.
When the company, after trying the first subscription, realized that there were technical problems, they offered her the one-year subscription. And rather than take the opportunity to work with something that she said in the past worked, she quit. I guess that's the elephant in the room that I'm seeing, is that you're arguing that there wasn't a interactive process, but the interactive process was that they provided her the one-year subscription and she quit before she can even attempt to engage that accommodation. How should the court look at that, particularly as it relates to the findings of the ULJ?
Yeah, so there's no dispute that the interactive process occurred before the 45-day trial, and then at the end, when she had complained over the course of many, many months that this is not working for me, she had been told again, time and time again, oh, this is a tech issues. These are issues that we're working out. You know, we're having employees come and help you. That's supportive.
Counselor, you keep saying time and time again, and I'm going to go back to what Judge Larkin indicated. It seems to me that there were two instances,
yes,
where there were tech issues between the 45 and 90-day subscription, and then at the end of the 90-day subscription.
Yes.
I'm trying to understand, and maybe it's just a language deal, what time and time again. There were two instances. One, she agreed to a 45-day trial. That didn't go well. I think all would say that Uable did unilaterally purchase the 90-day subscription. That didn't go well, and they said, okay, we're going to purchase the one-year subscription because clearly these other two things are not working. It seems to me like that
yes.
is a process.
So after the 45-day trial, both parties agreed that it worked. And so then Uable unilaterally purchased the 90-day trial. And then there was the 24 to 48-hour period of downtime.
And that was at the end of the 90.
Correct.
And
but
then,
the problem is, so they were on notice at that point that this could happen and this might happen again.
And then at that point, they then said, we're going to purchase the one-year subscription, and
no.
then she quit.
No, they then purchased another 90-day extended trial subscription. And that's the issue, is that despite knowing what the consequences of their initial proposed accommodation, they still, again, did not engage with Ms. James and say, okay, this could happen. You know, this could happen again. How do we best minimize the harm to you so that you can continue working to the degree that a sighted worker could do so? And so it's not so much the first 90 days. It's when they were made aware by Ms. Jamieson that the program was deficient after the 90 days and that it results in this down period that is exclusive to her disability. And they decided to go ahead and renew that without letting her know.
Your complaint is really about there are two 90 days.
Yes.
At the end of each of them, mm-hmm. there is a functionality disruption.
Yes.
They shouldn't have done the second 90 day. They should have done a permanent or annual one at the end of the first 90
Correct.
Day.
Correct.
Because they did solve it at the end of the second 90 day. They said, we're going to do a permanent one.
Yes, but she had also been told, she's made to believe initially that she had an annual subscription from the start.
No, I appreciate that. They didn't really understand the problem with functionality as a whole, it sounds like, between the first Well, one and two.
And they didn't engage with Ms. Jamison to figure out how do we best resolve this, or how do we best mitigate any potential harm that may occur so that you're best able to do her, so that she's best able to do her work. And that's why we respectfully request reversal due to legal error.
Thank you. Thank you for the briefing and the arguments. Case is submitted. You'll have a decision within 90 days.
Thank you, Your Honor.